in a moment. It is a landscape that has in the sedimentary layers of its peat the stories of Culloden, of Clearance, of Crofting. One comes to it humble, not arrogant, wanting to see and learn, to leave the wiser.
The Highland River is an important book in the landscape of his artistic development and sends the signal, I think, for those who are interested in Neil Gunn, to his last book, which is The Atom of Delight, which he wrote 20 years later. And a lot of the concerns of the young lad and this business of delight, that essence, that quintessence of human experience, where a history and the moment and the future all come together in this delight, is then expounded upon at greater length in The Atom of Delight, which is basically his last testament, if you like, as an artist. And after that, he basically writes nothing.
I think Gunn is a very great novelist, and I think this is one of his greatest novels. I think it marks the point at which he totally matures. It's not long, it's concise, it's beautifully controlled. But what makes this novel one of the greatest novels of Scottish literature, and I would argue in literature in English, is its control of both its metaphors, its symbols, and its poetry. It's a poetic novel, and that poetry is controlled right through till the end.
The intimacy was very close now. In the last few moments before he had risen, he had seen himself walking towards the mountain, much as, in the last year or two, he had seen the little figure of the boy Ken adventuring into the Strath. What older mind in this curious regress was now the observer might be difficult to say, for its apprehension seemed profounder than individual thought. Picked, and Viking too, and Gael, the folk, through immense eras of time, sea and river, moor and loch, the abiding land, of which the departing figure was a silent emanation, more inevitable than any figure in any vision. From the high summit, the solitary figure would watch the dawn come up behind the Orkneys, would see on the mountain ranges of Sutherland the grey planetary light that reveals the earth as a ball turning slowly in the immense chasm of space, would turn again to the plain of Caithness, that land of exquisite lights, and be held by a myriad lochs and dewlochs glimmering blood red. He could then bow his head and see what lay in his heart and in his mind. Ken withdrew his eyes from the source of his river and, turning, saw about him here and there on the moor the golden spikes of the bog asphodel. He picked one and found it had a scent. He searched for the name of the scent and remembered the taste of a golden candy Sands used to sell out of a glass bottle. At that, little Ken's face vanished goblin-like across his mind. He could not all at once throw the flower from him, nor could he put it in his buttonhole. So he forgot it in his hand as he went over the watershed and down into the valley that lay between him and the base of the mountain.
The music of Eddie Maguire, inspired by Neil Gunn's work Highland River, ending tonight's feature. The programme was presented by Kenneth Stephen and produced by Mark Rickards, and it was first broadcast on Radio 3 last April. And this programme, like many Radio 3 documentaries, is now available as a free download. You can go to the Radio 3 website and follow the link to the podcast page. Well, Gaelic dominated that programme. Another British language dominates the next of our documentaries drawn from our Sunday feature series this week. It's on Wednesday evening. It's the language considered by many to be the oldest literary language in Europe. But back in the 1960s, there were concerns it was dying out. Well, the programme is presented by another poet, Gwyneth Lewis, who reflects on 50 years of the project launched to pull things back from the brink. 1962 marked the formation of the Welsh Language Society, a movement of language activism that sought to revive the Welsh language. Well, she'll be assessing how the project has gone, how it's going, and where it's leading to in The Dragon with Two Tongues. That's at 9:30 on Wednesday evening here on BBC Radio 3. Well, we'll soon be back live at the Royal Albert Hall for the second of tonight's BBC Proms. And in this case, we're going to be joined by listeners to BBC Six Music. And it's typically an untypical combination of musical forces, it being a late prom. The London Sinfonietta and their conductor, Andrew Gawley, will be joined on stage by one of Six Music's presenters, the singer Kerris Matthews, and the punk rockers, The Stranglers. And the music's going to be interesting. Varese, Berlioz and John Adams among the composers. Well, they're working hard to reset the stage with all the equipment needed for such a concert. We're going to join them at 10:25 in 5 minutes' time. Music to take us there by a contemporary Cuban composer and pianist who's based in London these days, Marietta Voylens.
Thank you.
That was a piece called Music of the Invisible Young, Part 1, played and written by the Cuban pianist and composer Marietta Voylens. Now, before we go to the proms, let's have a word from an ageing broadcaster.
I'm Donald MacLeod, and I've been writing and presenting Radio 3's Composer of the Week since 1999. The programme itself has been going a bit longer than that. This week's composer, as it was originally known, first hit the airwaves on the BBC Home Service 70 years ago. As part of our birthday celebrations this year, we want to put the spotlight on a composer who's never appeared on the programme before. And to do that, we need your suggestions. On the Composer of the Week webpage, you can find a list of all the composers we've ever featured over the last 7 decades. If there's someone you think we've unjustly overlooked, please let us know. You can send an email to composeroftheweek@bbc.co.uk, write us a letter, or tweet us at the hashtag COTW70.
Donald MacLeod. This is BBC Radio 3. The time is just after 25 past 10. Time for tonight's Late Night Prom, which is a collaboration with BBC Six Music. It's introduced from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall, live here on Radio 3 by Tom Service and Steve Lamack.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Royal Albert Hall.
Tonight we're live on both BBC Radio 6 Music and the home of the proms every night, Radio 3. I'm Tom Service.
And I'm Steve Lamack. We are here to present the first ever collaboration between Radio 3 and Six Music, and of course it is our first ever BBC Six Music prom tonight. We will be featuring performances by Laura Marling, Keris Matthews, the London Sinfonietta, and we have great pleasure in welcoming the Stranglers to the Royal Albert Hall, who will be playing very shortly. But before we start tonight's shindig, I guess what we should explain why we're here and how all this came about, because it was a couple of years ago when I became just a tad guilty about the fact that I knew nothing about the world of classical music. And I thought, I wonder if there are other Six Music listeners who feel like me, who would love to know more about the world of classical, but were too afraid to ask. So we got this man to come on. Tom Service joined us on Six Music, and this is how it all started.
Well, that's right, but not that you had much to learn, Steve, of course. You know, the point about this was to go on a journey. I mean, over the last couple of years, it's been about, very simply, just exploring things that you didn't know and I didn't know. So, you know, we went on a journey from Beethoven to Stockhausen, from John Cage to Johann Sebastian Bach. The whole point is about making connections across musical cultures that we often divide. I'm getting there, I'm nearly there, I'm just making a very important point here, thank you very much, which is to say that all the thing that connects all the great music is not what genre it is, or not what you're wearing, or not even where you're hearing it. It's a spirit of adventure that goes straight to your guts, to your body, to your brains, and to your soul. And that's what we're going to hear in every note tonight. Steve.
Yes. So, shall we start the proceedings? A band who have a wonderfully diverse back catalogue. They all came to music before punk happened, but as a band, swiftly outgrew the label of punk itself, because just like a lot of composers, they were railing against what was expected of them, I think. They represent, for me, a sort of perverse playfulness with pop music, wrapped up in that sense of always just being outsiders. To open the show with the London Sinfonietta, ladies and gentlemen, the Stranglers! We'll be right back.
William Trotsky. He got an ice pick. Now maybe she is born. Whatever happened to old Lenny, the great Amiral, and Sancho Panza? Whatever happened to Shakespeare's up. They're watching over.
Live at the Royal Albert Hall, and the version of No More Heroes arranged by Anna Meredith with the players of the London Sinfonietta. Thank you very much. We'll hear more of Anna's reinterpretations of the Stranglers later on. We obviously have very limited time on this show to really explore the crossover between Six Music and Radio 3 and all the music that we play on the different stations, so it was quite difficult choosing the pieces for tonight's programme. But Tom, what have we got next?
True, right, the next piece we're going to hear is the first piece of music that Frank Zappa bought. See those 13 percussionists at the back of the... Exactly. See those 13 percussionists at the back of the stage? They're going to play the first piece of music in musical history written only for percussion. Edgar Varese's Ionization for 13 percussionists. Now, it may have been written in about 1931, but it still sounds cosmically contemporary, this. It was written by a composer to whom nothing was off limits. Rattles, bells, sirens, whistles, even a lion's roar. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare for Edgar Varese's Ionization. Thank you. the pulverizing poetry of 13 percussionists of the London Sinfonietta conducted by Andrew Gourley, Edgar Varese's Ionization in the first ever Six Music Prom here at the Royal Albert Hall. Steve.
And that's what London at night sounds like in my head. Next, we are delighted to welcome someone who's proficient in so many things. She's an acclaimed singer-songwriter. She's a Sony Award-winning Six Music radio presenter. She's written and recorded music across multiple genres and performed with all sorts of people from Mississippi Bluesman to Tom Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, Keris Matthews!
Excited to be here tonight, and given the chance to come and play for you, I was enjoying the decision of what to play. I have a very old book with me, and in the book are many, many songs, some of which were favourites of King Henry V. He used to dance to these songs in the 14th century. I thought, what better songs to bring to the Royal Albert Hall than a favourite of a king? If you get the urge to dozy-do, don't fight it. Especially the promenaders. That's you guys, the Six Music audience. You are the promenaders. Don't let me down. Is that King Henry V kind of style? That's what I'm talking about. You would make the kings proud. I didn't say that at the time King Henry V was fighting a Wanglindŵr, the Welsh warrior, while he danced with his convivial companions. Anyway, the next song we're going to do is a little less old. Not much. It was made very popular by a New Orleans musician. A very simple song, but very singable. You will probably know it, so again, if you feel the urge, don't hold back. And it's a pure pleasure to be here, as I said, especially now playing with the London Sinfonietta, everybody.
Matthews, ladies and gentlemen. Live on BBC Six Music and Radio 3, Blueberry Hill, arranged for the London Sinfonietta by Mason Neely. We're just going to rearrange some of the stage while we're doing that. Keris, if you've got your breath back. Two very different pieces. Are those things which you've found along the years, down the way, or is that something that you've spent some time looking this up?
Well, in the middle of my Stranglers records, I always had room for songbooks, and this one, which is from 1800, was given by a friend of mine, Jeff Towns, who's an antique book collector, and he handed it to me recently. So along the way, people have been very generous. I've gone to museums and picked up books like these, and I've been collecting songs from all over the world. So it's I find it so interesting, you know, because then you don't have to fight again. You know, when you listen to a great record, you almost have to match it or make it better when you're playing it. But if you don't know how it's originally played, you can make any noise and get away with it.
That's what classical musicians have been doing for, like, centuries, anyway, yeah.
Did you grow up in a house full of music, though? Did you do anything classic? Did you study classically at all down the years?
Well, I was a member of the West Glam Youth Orchestra as an oboe player. Yes, come West Glam.
The oboe union are in.
You watch the oboe players. We are a tribe, aren't we? A tribe apart. I've already been speaking to the oboe player here tonight as well. He has about 20 reeds. Now, we can talk about reeds if you want, Steve.
It's more Tom's line than mine.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Yeah.
No oboist will ever have a reed that they want to play that night.
Well, look, I think, Steve, can we move it on now? It's only, I mean, just whilst we're talking about reeds, actually, the next... No, Keris, thank you very much. That's not right. Keris Matthews, ladies and gentlemen.
Keris Matthews.
Reed sets us up quite nicely for the next piece we're going to hear, which is Steve Martland's righteously and joyously angry piece, Principia. Now, this is our tribute here at the Royal Albert Hall and the Proms to Steve Martland, who died tragically and suddenly earlier this year. But Principia, with its cohort of saxophones here, reed instruments, connection with the oboes, etc., is really a call to wake up to musical and social consciousness. So Andrew Gourley is now going to conduct the London Sinfonietta Principia by Steve Martland. Steve Martland's Principia. Andrew Gourley conducted the London Symphony. Absolutely love that piece. Can we have another round of applause for Steve Martland, please, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you. Steve, what do you reckon?
It's like a brilliantly, slightly, it's one step away. It's a frustrated club stomp, isn't it? But I think that's one of the things about Martin's music. It was always one step away, just one beat away from sort of the mainstream. Although, obviously, he worked with Spiritualized, who I saw play here once. One of the most ambitious gigs I think I've ever seen at the Royal Albert Hall. And released records on Factory Records as well, home of New Order and the Happy Monday. So yeah. it's another link between the two worlds.
For sure, absolutely.
Again.
Well, it's the whole thing, isn't it? I mean, there have always been these visionary musicians who brought these kind of worlds together. Worlds that should never have been apart in the first place, but they're coming together a bit tonight. Steve?
Yes, the London Sinfonietta will be back very shortly because we'll be hearing more from them when they return to play with our next guest, a singer-songwriter who's twice been nominated for the Mercury Music Prize. She won the title Best Female Solo Artist at the Brit Awards in 2011. More importantly, I think, and why we're so chuffed she's here tonight, her four albums so far show an extraordinary talent for storytelling, which is something which we have in common with our classical friends. She visualises people's emotions in an amazing way while also retaining a raw personal edge.
Who could this be, Steve?
Please welcome Laura Marling!
BBC. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So your grandmother sounds to me a woman I will be proud to be. And you say she reminds you of me. Every little boy is so naive. I will not be a victim of romance. I will not be a victim of circumstance. Chance is circumstance of romance. Or any man who could get his dirty little hands on me. So your grandfather sounds like me. Head up, shoulders back, and proud to be. Every little girl is so naive. Falling in love with the first man that she sees. Now I will not be a victim of romance. I will not be a victim of circumstance. Chance or circumstance or romance or any man who could get his dirty little hands on me. No, no. Something other than regret. Pass me a glass and half smoke cigarette. I've damn near got no dignity left. I've damn near got no dignity left. No, I will not be a victim of romance. I will not be a victim of circumstance. chance or circumstance or romance or any man who could get his dirty little hands on me. No, no. People who don't lose control, who will never take a foot out of life. You might not care what I think, but you don't know what I know. And damn all those hippies who stomp empty-footed upon all that's good or what's pure of the world. You might not think that I care, but you don't know what I know. Bless all those mothers who do all they can just to take their faults out of the line. I might not know what it's like, but I'm glad that you know. Give me a minute there, just a minute now, it'll come back to me. I was so sure, but you freewheeling troubadour, you took my mind off the scene. And you know, and I know, I know, I know that you know. You asked me blind once if I was a child once. I said I'm really not sure. How can you know, how can you know, all it is you don't know. We were a pair once of so much despair. We were a child then, I'm sure. If we were a child, then we are children, no more. Give me a minute there, just a minute now, it'll come back to me. I was so sure, but you freewheeling troubadour, you took my mind off the scene. And you know, and I know, I know, I know that you know. You know, you know, you know, and I know what you know.
You came here.
things I do. How cruel you are to me. How cruel men can be.
Thank you.
That was the mythic power of Greek composer Yannis Xenakis' Omega, his last ever piece, written in 1997 for these players, the virtuosos of the London Sinfonietta, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic performance. And they were conducted tonight by Andrew Gourley. Before that, we heard, of course, that fabulous set from Laura Marling and the arrangement of her track Breathe for the Sinfonietta and made by Anna Meredith, composer.
And it was amazing, wasn't it? Yeah. Absolutely. But, it's a strange thing, as we were obviously working out this idea, and we said to all the bands, you can rearrange your songs yourself, or we'll talk to Anna Meredith, see if Anna wants to work with you. Anna did, and they were so embracing of all the ideas that came back. It was almost like we were talking to the Stranglers earlier on, and they were talking about how it's almost like you can find an alter ego in somebody's song.
In the song, so that the rearrangements by Anna Meredith have created a kind of another version, not just another version of a song, another way of
hearing it. A version of a song which even the band sometimes doesn't know exists.
One of the things in the Stranglers' next set, which is coming up, ladies and gentlemen, You hear it at the very end, a version of Golden Brown, which has already got some pretty freaky time signatures in it, yes? But there's something that Anna Meredith does in that thing, which makes it even freakier, as you'll hear. But I mean, I get that's part of the connections here, that all of these musicians want to, they want to push the boundaries, just as you want to push the boundaries in your show, and just as we want to do that on Radio 3 as well.
Yeah, it's very much like that. I think we're living in an era of a remix. Everyone's more willing, I think, to reinterpret their own music, and it's weird. You would imagine all the bands, we were saying this on the Six Music show just before we came on air, you would imagine all the bands would have said, oh no, don't touch my work. But it's not the bands who've had the egos.
You're right, saying that classical music musicians have egos?
None of the members of our music community have had any egos when we've come to this. No,
exactly. Well, look, the next piece we're going to hear is a haunted song by the Italian composer Luciano Berio. It's called O King, and it was written in 1968 as a memorial to Martin Luther King, who was assassinated that year. It's going to be performed by the mezzo-soprano Anna Stephanie and five players of the London Sinfonietta. Look, Anna will just sing only two words in this 5 minutes of music, O King. Everything else you hear, all of the other text, is made from exploded fragments of those songs. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on stage mezzo-soprano Anna Stephanie and conductor Andrew Gourley, Luciano Berio's O King. Luciano Berio's O King. The mezzo-soprano Anna Stefani, Andrew Gourley conducted the London Sinfonietta here at the Royal Albert Hall in the first ever Six Music Prom.
And I think before, because we're wildly overrunning, I imagine, for time, but before we go, can we just say on behalf of everyone who's involved in tonight's concert, including myself and Tom, thank you for coming along tonight. Even on a school holiday, I know it's a school night for a lot of you, so thank you very much for coming, Royal Albert Hall. Thank you. We really appreciate it. If you're listening at home and you've missed any of tonight's concert, it will, of course, be on the BBC iPlayer if you, ladies and gents here, want to listen to it when you get home. But it wouldn't really work, would it? BBC Six Music and Radio 3 coming together, it wouldn't really work unless we get this man to introduce a rock band on stage. Now, usually, if this was a rock gig, what you'd do, Tom, is you'd walk to the middle of the stage, you'd put your foot on the monitor.
Is that wise, really? A
bit of a dangerous swivel of the hip. And shout the band's name really loudly. But in your own style, if you will.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure that the orchestra. Thanks, Steve. I'm not ducking this opportunity, but just to say that every prom's live on BBC
Radio
3.
He's filling for time. He's filling.
Fine. All right, ladies and gentlemen, for one night only. Look at that. The foot, the hips. This is terrible. Sorry about this. Thank you. For one night only, the ultimate prom superband featuring the London Sinfonietta and all those percussionists. No more heroes, as the song goes. There are now, ladies and gentlemen, the Stranglers!
Says she's an heiress, sits in a terrace, says she's coconut, pray for the rain. How many times have you seen the papers? A portion of rain. Who gets to say? Who gets to work? Who gets to play? I was taught at school, everybody should get the same. How many times you've been told, you don't ask, you don't get? How many liars have taken your money, your mother said you shouldn't bet? Who has the fun? Is it always the man with the gun? Somebody must have told him if you work too hard, you can sweat. There's always the sun. There's always the sun. Always, always, always the sun. How many times has a weatherman told you stories that made you laugh? You know, it's not unlike the politicians and the leaders when they do things by heart. Who has the job pushing the knob? That's one responsibility you draw stress for if you're not enough. There's always the sun. There's always the sun. There's always a sun. Always, always.
Shoes throughout the night, no need to fight, never a frown with gold brown.
every time, just like the last. On her ship, tied to a mast, to distant lands, takes both my hands, never found. Through the ages, she's headed west. From far away, stays for a day, never a frown.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Stranglers! The London Sinfonietta!
Of course, Keris Matthews!
Laura Marling!
Thank you very much to Anna Meredith!
Jazz conductor Andrew Gourley! And more importantly, you here in the Royal Albert Hall!
Yes, thank you, you!
And all of you at home on Six Music and listening on BBC Radio 3. Thank you, Steve. What an evening. We've got to say.
Thank you very much. He's been Tom Service. I've been Steve Lamack. Have a safe journey home. We'll see you next year. Take care, everybody.
Thanks all.
Good night.
Tom Service, Steve Lamack, live on the stage of the Royal Albert Hall for a joint broadcast here on BBC Radio 3 and BBC Six Music. Well, tomorrow night, Radio 3, being the home of the BBC Proms, will be back at the Royal Albert Hall, bringing you a feast of Russian music, the London Symphony Orchestra and Valery Gergiev on stage tomorrow night. Gergiev back for a second appearance at the Proms this year. You may have heard him conducting a brand new orchestra a couple of weeks ago, the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America. Very smart and indeed trendy looking too, in red trousers. Not sure if the LSO will be donning salmon pink tomorrow, but they'll be playing Borodin's Second Symphony, Glazunov's Second Piano Concerto, music too by Sofia Gubaidulina, and to end, pictures at an exhibition, Ravel's transcription of Mussorgsky's great masterpiece. It's all live here on Radio 3 from 7:30 tomorrow night. Jazz on 3 in a moment. First, though, just to anchor you back where you think you are, a bit of Bach. Angela Hewitt playing the Prelude and Fugue No. 6, BWV 851 by Bach, the jazz of its day, surely. This is BBC Radio 3, broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM, on digital radio and online. It's a quarter to midnight now, time for the Jazz of Today, Jazz on 3, next tonight, presented, as always, by Jez Nelson.
Hello and welcome along to Jazz on 3. Well, if you've been listening throughout the night tonight, I hope you enjoyed that rather unusual prom with the Stranglers coming together with the London Sinfonietta. I guess you could say we're continuing the theme of rock meets the avant-garde with this week's programme, because we're giving over the entire show to an extended improvisation from the British guitarist Fred Frith. Fred's appearance at Café Otto last summer with the bass player John Edwards and the drummer Mark Sanders was a memorable visit back to the UK from his long-term home in the US. Well, having heard our broadcast of the first set, there was a clamour to hear the second half of the gig. Listeners Tom Phillips, Ulrich Petterate and Mike McGlinnan were amongst those getting in touch saying, "We want more Fred." Well, I'm not surprised, because Frith is a total one-off, as you'll hear very shortly. Well, as part of our original programme last September, I spoke to BBC Six Music Stuart McConey, a long-time Fred Frith fan, about the musical ingredients that make up his weird and wonderful approach to the guitar, and about how Stuart himself first got into Frith's music.
Well, when I was, a teenager, in early to mid-teens, and first getting into progressive rock through reading the newspapers and through kind of older, lads at school would have, your kind of Yes, Genesis, Emerson, Lake and Palmer style of progressive rock. There was a parallel world which centred around an almost family of people, centred around Virgin Records, which at the time was a very esoteric label for heads, you know, as they'd be called then. And out of that family, Fred Frith was a name that I would hear and see cropping up on lots of different records from not just people like Henry Cow, which of course his band, the band that he formed with Tim Hodgkinson, but Robert Wire, Brian Eno, The Residents, lots of other people who made interesting music. I'd see Fred Frith's name associated with it. Fred Frith's manager, to have his feet in worlds like, playing with Brian Eno, to being, essentially the inheritor of Derek Baylor, really, in taking free improvisation, treated guitar, abusing the guitar, many people would say. This is not Wes Montgomery, I think we should say. Although I'm sure Fred likes and has Wes Montgomery records in his collection. I mean, he started playing the guitar because he was a fan of The Shadows. Mm. But he is in some ways, he's exploring the furthest reaches of what the guitar can do. And certainly that's what you're going to hear now in this improvisation. And I think he's had an influence on new, younger jazz and rock guitarists. The idea of the Jimi Hendrix-style guitar hero is rather passé now. And I think Fred Frith has had an influence on more people who want to see just exactly what you can get the instrument to do.
I think you said something there about the kind of, well, he's no Wes Montgomery, and sort of he attacks the guitar. I mean, in this concert, he had before him this table of implements of torture, really. Everything sort of like, rags, paintbrushes, gongs, electronics, tins. And he's quoted as saying he's got all these things to sort of defeat certain obvious characteristics of the instrument. So he sort of goes out of his way to make sounds that you wouldn't think were possible with a standard guitar.
Yeah, I mean, he drops ball bearings on them, for instance, and he scrapes them with kind of sandpaper and things like that. And some people would regard that as sacrilege. But he's coming at it from the point of view, like John Cage in The Prepared Piano. We know already what the piano or the guitar can do. And so keep that sort of in your mind when you hear now it being sort of pushed somewhere. Maybe even it doesn't want to go. But it's always kind of bracing the results.
Stuart McConey from BBC Radio 6 Music's The Freak Zone, introducing us to one of the freakiest guitarists of all, Fred Frith, here recorded at Café Otto last year with John Edwards on bass and Mark Sanders on drums, just over half an hour of unbroken sound explorations. Thank you.
Thank you.